This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Joining us now to say Tama Hotline, Commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, Mike Oresko. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How you doing?
Buddy, I'm great. I appreciate you fitting us in on your very busy schedule. And lots of changes going on down there. How you feeling about the new schools that are going to be coming aboard?
Oh, I feel very good about it, about them. I think they're going to be great additions. The more I thought about it, the more we analyzed this, the more I, you know, dug into what they're doing and what they can offer. I think there'll be tremendous additions, and I think, you know, the conference will help them enormously too, Scott, because, you know, we provide a level of TV exposure on ESPN that you just don't get in those other conferences, not even close. And the level of ESPN promotion we get, in addition to the way we promote the league, and, you know, the fact that we're in the right time zones, we've got big markets, you know, we tend to be, you know, the fly in the ointment in a way. And so we get a lot of publicity, probably way more than, you know, you would normally expect. And that helps, you know, build the brand of the league. As you know, I doubt that, you know, UCF could have done what they did in the league they were in previously. They just wouldn't have had the exposure. And the same thing with Houston and Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati is a little different case because they were in the old Big East when they were a BCS conference. But point is, they did a lot for this conference, and this conference did a lot for them. And I think the same dynamic will be in place when these schools come in. They're all in the right places, and they're all investing, and they all have the commitment.
You know, I think this, Mike, I think it has to say a lot about what you've put together that a P5 school or P5 conference, rather, such as the Big 12, they're coming to get from you. That you guys have had, you've had properties valuable enough that they consider bringing into the fold. I think that speaks volumes about what y'all have done.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think it does. I think, you know, when we started, you have to remember going back to 2012, 13, it was complete disarray. You know, you had the Catholic Seven leaving. You had Boise and San Diego State deciding not to join. You had, you know, Louisville and Rutgers leaving for the, you know, ACC and Big Ten, respectively. It was just a mess. But the schools held together, and not only did they hold together, you know, they began investing. We felt that, you know, with the pedigree they all had, a lot of them were old BCS schools, and the newcomers had a lot going for them, like UCF and Memphis and others. And we thought that we could build something, and sure enough, in no time, 2013, we won the Fiesta Bowl, we won the national championship in basketball, men's and women's. And we were off and running, and it never let up. So, yeah, they targeted us, of course, as you would expect. That's the way it works in college athletics. And can't take it personally. It's a tribute to what we accomplished, but it also is frustrating because, you know, you have a great league, which I thought was, without Texas and Oklahoma, I thought it was the equal of what was left of the Big 12, maybe even better longer term. But we weren't a P5. You know, that's still a struggle that we're going to continue to embark on. And we also didn't have quite the revenue they did because they had the deal. We don't know what it's going to look like in the future, and I don't get into the finances of other conferences. But the point is, we didn't have some of the things they had, so they were able to get some of our schools. And in this particular case, these six schools wanted very much to have the opportunities that we afford, and that's just the way it works. And I think they will. Now, they'll do what the others did. I'm convinced they will. You know, we weren't planning to expand. Big 12 probably wasn't planning to do anything either. But you never know what's going to happen. You have to be prepared. You never know what exigencies will occur. And so, consequently, once we looked at it, we said, you know, we need to go bigger. We thought, well, you know, if we go to 10, you know, we're not only going to be potentially vulnerable down the road, but we won't have the same dynamic. It's better if we go bigger. And we looked around and said, okay, we've had two or three dozen schools reach out to us, call us. No surprise in this kind of environment. And we identified, I don't know, 8 to 10 or so that we thought could fit the profile of the league, could fit the philosophy of the league, the cultural, methodology of the league. And so consequently, we you know, decided that these six made the most sense, and they were very, very interested in joining us. And again, you know, when you look at this, Scott, there are things that, you know, you look at, you know, we're in tremendous football hotbeds and football drives. So much of this, as you know, there's also good basketball and Olympic sports, but football is the driver. And we're in rich recruiting areas, and the transfer portal is an issue these days. And we're in a place where you know, players want to come back home, and that's where they were originally recruited. So even if we don't get them the first time around, because of where we are, we have a chance, and where these six schools are. You know, the ESPN exposures I mentioned and the resources that these schools have. Others just didn't have the resources, and some took themselves out of the running by saying, you know, we just can't invest to the level you want. You know, we can't pay our coaches to the level you pay your coaches. And that's where, again, it's on us now. We have tremendous advantages if we use them properly, and that's really what it's going to come down to.
We're joined by AAC Commissioner Mike Oresko. And, Mike, I'm not necessarily looking for you to badmouth anybody or put anybody down or anything like that, but I'm dying to know this. What were your initial thoughts on how the Oklahoma-Texas move to the SEC went down? What was your reaction when you first heard?
You know, I first heard it. I was at a reception in Charlotte, a retirement reception for John Swofford, and he was an old friend. And when I got back home, I heard about it, and it was clearly an earthquake. I mean, it was something completely unexpected. My first thought was, it's going to affect us at some point. You know, everything moves downstream. I thought either the Big 12 will implode, and there'll be teams that'll be looking for a home, possibly in our conference, or the Big 12 will stay together and they'll need more teams and they'll come after our teams. So I knew that one way or another it was going to affect us. It didn't surprise me in a way, because it's not just the money, it seemed to me. It seemed that, you know, Texas was losing out to A&M in terms of recruiting, in terms of, you know, other things. The SEC is, you know, a magnet for great recruits, great players. You know, I should know. I programmed it for, you know, 16 years at CBS, including the national deal. So I know how good it is, and I know how, how important it is nationally, the ratings they get. And, that obviously must have been attractive to Texas, and then Oklahoma obviously would go with Texas. So it didn't really surprise me. But something like that is unexpected. You know, nothing's inevitable until it happens. But, you know, you thought maybe it, down the road something could happen. But, you know, again, in terms of the conference and the inner workings of the conference, that conference, I have nothing to say about it because, again, what we've really tried to do is not talk about other conferences and not, you know, talk about whether, other than compare ourselves. We do that, and that's legitimate. I mean, if you think you have a claim to be, you know, in a certain pecking order, as you know, we've argued many times that our conference was the equal of some of those P5 conferences in terms of playoff potential and that kind of thing, and that's perfectly legitimate. But in terms of what was going on there and you know, what was the ultimate driving force, you know, I have no idea. They'll deal with it just as we're dealing with our situation.
And Mike, you mentioned John Swofford, and by the way, Oklahoma, Texas, the way they went to the SEC was such a Swofford-like ninja move. I know John would have been like, yeah, that's how you keep it quiet. I've had a lot of dealings with John. But I'm wondering this, though. You talk about your relationships, and you have a relationship with a John Swofford at the ACC, but what does it do with your relationship with a Bob Bowlesby when he's coming and taking some of your teams away?
You know, that's a really good question, and my relationship with Bob is cordial. It always has been. You know, he and I have worked on things together over the years. You know, when that circus occurred 5 years ago, and that's exactly what it was, you know, when they were auditioning all our teams, and it was very uncomfortable for everyone. You know, Bob and I still, you know, stayed on good terms, and he called me later when they decided not to take teams. You know, you just can't take this stuff personally. For example, you know, Jim Delaney really, you know, when he took Rutgers, and it cost us also, he took Maryland, and it cost us Louisville because the ACC then needed a team. That was pretty devastating for, you know, the Big East at the time. You know, I had just become commissioner. We were negotiating a TV deal, hoping that, you know, we'd come out okay. That pretty much wrecked us, you know. But yet, Jim and I remained friends. You know, I realized that he had his reasons for doing it. That's just the way it works in this business. And the same thing, you know, John took a lot of Big East teams. Ultimately, I mean, I think seven of their teams are former Big East teams. They basically gobbled up the Big East. But he did what he felt was best for his conference. And you're right, but I prefer the way he did it. You know, you don't. What happened 5 years ago with that Big 12 audition was really terrible. And the Texas-Oklahoma thing, when it broke, obviously when it leaked, it caused a lot of turmoil. But you'd rather do these things quickly and quietly. That's what we were trying to do with the six teams that came in. Teams want to better their, you know, their situation. They want opportunity, Scott. You know, they look for greener pastures. It's just the nature of college athletics. Do I like either end of it? No. You don't like losing teams? No one does. You don't like to have to add teams at another conference's expense. But if they want to come, this is a voluntary deal. As I've always said, conference affiliation is voluntary. If you pay your exit fee and you stay the required time, you're free to leave. If you feel that there's a better opportunity, in fact, you know, okay, fine. If there's a better opportunity, we'll wish you well. There are no hard feelings. The three that are leaving, I've got cordial relationships with the three, you know, with the three ADs and presidents. They've done a great job in our conference, and I'm rooting hard for, if Cincinnati wins out, I'm rooting hard for them to make the playoff. You just cannot take it personally. It's not an ego thing. It's something that happens. There are reasons for it. You just live with it and move on.
Do you put up a fight to keep those teams? I mean, there's just so much money involved. Is it one of those situations where, as you said, you wish them well, but it seems to me you also, a part of you wants to say, listen, you need to stick this out. We can keep building this.
Yeah, no question. We talked to them. We talked about the risks of joining a conference that clearly did not seem to be stable at that point. We talked about the advantages here, but there's only so much you can do. You know, if there's a money gap, if there's, you know, for instance, the Big 12 is still ostensibly a P5. I don't know what's going to happen down the road with all this. And we were not at the time. We were about ready to go to the NCAA Board of Governors with that. We wrote an 8-page letter that you may have seen. It did come out to the chairs of the P5 conferences stating a strong case for membership. And you know what we did over the 8 years. It was pretty impressive. But we weren't at that level yet, and so consequently those schools felt there was a better opportunity. You can talk to them, you try to keep them, you want to keep them, but you recognize the realities. You know, you have to be a realist in this situation, and exactly what's happening now with the six coming to us. You know, they're getting a level of exposure that is not even close to what they were getting. You know, they weren't getting much. They're getting revenue that's enhanced, and they're also, you know, getting a level of promotion and a level of attention. You know, their alumni are energized, their fans, their donors, their sponsors, everybody's, I'm hearing it daily that they're very energized or they're excited. That's just the way it works. And so there was only so much that the previous conference could have done to keep them. And it's not, now the old Big 12, the old one, remember back, obviously, that had Nebraska and everybody else, you always heard about, you know, a dysfunction there, you know, and rivalries and things of that nature. But on the other hand, when the Big 10, you know, they probably didn't come calling, and Nebraska probably showed an interest in them. Maybe there were some other reasons why they left. But for the most part, this is just opportunity. Doesn't really have much to do with personalities. It has to do with opportunity.
Couple more minutes with Commissioner Mike Oresko of the AAC. And Mike, it's an obvious question, and you touched on it earlier, but I have to ask you directly. Do you anticipate further expansion?
We don't right now. I did say that if there were schools that showed interest in us that really would enhance the brand, could we get a bit bigger? Yes, but I didn't want to rile anybody up. We're not actively doing anything right now, and we don't plan to. We think that absorbing the six schools, getting to 14, figuring out how we're going to do scheduling, all the different things that come with it, how we're going to deal with the finances, those are all tasks ahead of us. So, no. But do I anticipate, obviously you've seen it already, do I anticipate more realignment? Sure, it's going on right now. And I don't know when it ends. It's a domino effect. You remember when the Big Ten did take Nebraska, it was 2 years before it all played out. And we were probably the last big piece of it, you know, when the Big East kind of imploded and the Catholic Seven left. So it could play out over another several months, probably. Who knows? You know, you just don't know.
Has the AAC had any discussions with Liberty over the past 12 months?
No, we haven't. And I don't talk about, you know, schools having interest in us, but we we've had no direct discussions, and we haven't, you know, again, there are a number of schools that contacted us, but really not, there were no serious discussions with a lot of the schools. And we were honest. You know, we were definitely forthright in terms of what we were looking for and what we might do. But again, I've preferred all along to do is just not, you know, talk about individual schools. It's a tough process. Let's face it, and you want to protect everyone. Liberty has done a great job with their athletics, and you know, give them credit, they've done a terrific job. And I don't know whether they'll end up in the conference or not. Hard to say.
And Mike, before we let you go, you keep mentioning the Catholic Seven and the Big East and all that. I blame all this on Penn State. Penn State goes in the Big East, maybe back in the late 80s, early 90s, plays football. Everything looks different. What's your take?
Yeah, I think so. It probably would have been quite different. Although my understanding is back then that the Big East did not, you know, they took a vote and voted out not to take Penn State. It was a close vote. And I don't know what the dynamic was back then. I think what I just said is accurate, but you'd have to check it out. If Penn State had joined the Big East, my guess is everyone would have coalesced around them. And, you know, you had some outstanding schools. You know, Eastern football, I think, would have probably stayed strong. I'm not sure there'd have been much of a temptation to go elsewhere. You know, Miami and others might have stayed in the Big East. You know, you never know. But let's face it, the Big East was an unusual conference. It was a hybrid. You know, you had the small basketball schools along with the football schools. It started as a basketball-centric conference. It pretty much still was. So it was just unusual. And there were probably schools that may have felt that they were more comfortable in a conference, you know, that really didn't have that dynamic. But on the other hand, with Penn State there, I think, you know, because, again, the Big East throughout its history was a strong conference. And even in football, it tended to be small. You know, it had eight teams in the conference. But it had good football, and it obviously had incredible basketball. So, yeah, it things might have clearly turned out quite differently.
He's the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, Mike Oresko. Appreciate you coming on today.
Scott, thank you, and good luck. And, you know, again, appreciate you having me.
All righty, Mike. Thank you, sir.